And this is a decision item. This is number 8, State Forest Management Focus. We're going to be moving here to let Kate Skinner come in and with Justin Butteris to lead us through here. And then we will have board comments and testimony followed by public testimony. Go ahead, Kate. Justin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Kelly, members of the board, and State Forester Mukamoto. For the record, I'm Kate Skinner, Interim State Forest Division Chief. And I want to take a second before we dive into this topic just to do a little housekeeping and recognition. And I want to just say that all of you know that Liz Dent has accepted another position outside of the agency and is transitioning to that. So I want to take a moment to recognize and thank Liz for her leadership to the State Forest Division, as well as her work in managing State Forest for all Oregonians. She's had a very long career here and has contributed a lot to multiple programs for our agency. In addition, I want to thank, I'm moving into this role, and Liz has provided a very robust orientation and transition. And I also want to thank the folks in Tillamook District that are picking up my duties and allowing me to take on this role. As you talked earlier today, capacity is always a challenge in these changing times. So I would like to now focus on the topic on your agenda today. And as Chair Kelly said, this is a decision item for you today. So we're here to discuss the management focus of the lands. And this is an Oregon administrative rule required for review every 10 years. And so I'm going to turn it over to Justin Butteris, our policy analyst, to lead us through the discussion today.
Thanks, Kate. Next slide, please. There we go. Mute on the microphone. So good afternoon, Chair Kelly, members of the board, and State Forester Mukamoto. For the record, I'm Justin Butteris, policy analyst for the State Forest Division. Today, I have a short presentation that summarizes the material in the staff report on the topic of the review of the management focus found in the Greatest Permanent Value Rule. The presentation is brief to provide space for the board to discuss the management focus, ask questions, and provide direction to the division. First, I want to acknowledge that the counties and the department do not necessarily agree on the interpretation of the Greatest Permanent Value Rule. Until the board rescinds and/or replaces the Greatest Permanent Value Rule, the board and the department are obligated to continue to use the GPV rule as it exists today, which recognizes a full range of social, economic, and environmental benefits. Because of this, the analysis and work related to this topic are consistent with the current Greatest Permanent Value Rule and principles and findings articulated in rule by the board. We recognize this deep disagreement exists and there is ongoing litigation. We're making sure we're following the current rules and policies as required by law. To be perfectly clear, the scope of this review is not on the entirety of the Greatest Permanent Value Rule, but rather the smaller portion of that that is the management focus statement. So on to the substance of today's presentation. So firstly, what is the management focus? It's established in rule. The specific references and full text of the rules are in the staff report for your convenience. The focus is the central point of interest when it comes to the management of state forest lands. It can be thought of as the focal point for management and planning. The management focus provides the basic framework for securing greatest permanent value. The board is required to review the management focus at least every 10 years in light of current social, economic, scientific, and civil cultural considerations. The purpose of this agenda topic is to conduct this review. Next slide, please. There is important policy context provided by other rules found in Division 35 that aid in the interpretation of the current management focus. First is the board principles and findings rule shown here, which states the counties have a recognizable and protected interest in the lands, and the management of these lands is not required to maximize revenues, exclude non-revenue uses, or produce revenue from every acre. Next slide, please. Additionally, the management focus also must be pursued within the context of management that results in a high probability of maintaining and restoring properly functioning aquatic habitats for salmonids and other native fish and aquatic life. Next slide. Protects, maintains, and enhances native wildlife habitats, protects soil, air, and water, and provides outdoor recreation opportunities. These other uses are consistent with the enabling statutes known as the Forest Acquisition Act going back to 1925, including the current version that's found in ORS Chapter 530. Next slide, please. So with that context setting, we now move into the management focus, which is the portion under consideration and review by the board. The current focus is shown on the slide. The current management focus recognizes the working forest paradigm and calls on the state forester to maintain state forest lands as forest lands and to actively manage them in a sound environmental manner to provide sustainable timber harvest and revenues. Management focus does not speak to the pace and scale of active management, but instead establishes that active management is the central focus for state forest management. Importantly, the focus calls out specifically that the management must be in a sound environmental manner, and the revenues and harvest must be sustainable. The current management focus centers management on the focus on the important role state forests have for providing revenue to the state, counties, and local taxing districts, which can offset revenues that would otherwise come from other sources, like personal income tax, and or provide revenues for community programs that otherwise wouldn't receive funding. Next slide, please. As a reminder, the board is obligated to conduct its review in light of current social, economic, scientific, and civil cultural considerations. The division has been working on forest management policy projects with the board for nearly 10 years, and over the course of these efforts has had ongoing outreach and engagement and public comment opportunities with the counties and a variety of stakeholders. This has provided the board and the division with a significant amount of information related to the current social, economic, scientific, and civil cultural considerations when it comes to the management of state forests. The considerations are laid out in the staff report, but to highlight a few, we have revenues for counties and local taxing districts, resilient forests in the face of climate change, increased wildfire frequency and intensity, recreation, education, and interpretation, habitats for native fish and wildlife, including threatened and endangered species, restoration of the Tillamook State Forest affected by Swiss needlecast. The current focus requires three conditions be met. The forests are maintained as forests, the forests are actively managed in a sound environmental manner, and the forests generate sustainable harvest and revenues. None of these considerations appear to be incompatible with the working forest paradigm articulated in the current management focus. In other words, the board appears to have the latitude to emphasize or de-emphasize any of these aspects of forest management in the FMP or HCP without changing the management focus. Next slide, please. So the division is recommending the board affirm the current management focus. The current management focus does not constrain the board's discretion in making policy choices related to the trade-offs and pace and scale of state forest management. These policy decisions for securing GPV can be made in the context of a working forest management focus. Next slide, please. So for next steps, the division is recommending option one as the preferred action. This will allow current policy work projects to continue on their respective project timelines. Alternatively, should the board require more information or analysis, the division may have to slow or cease those projects depending on the scope of those data or information needs. And if the board determines a change is warranted, then the division will cease other policy projects to ensure the future management focus is the focus used for the FMP and HCP. Next slide, please. Thank you for your time today. We welcome comments, questions, and your discussion on the topic.
Okay, welcoming board member questions and comments. Can't believe that there's not any questions or comments yet from the board. Okay, I don't know who is first, but I'll go with Ben here this time.
Thank you, Jim and Justin, for that presentation. And I've been wrestling with this a lot. I feel like this is, this is one of our important jobs we have to do every 10 years is take a look at this. I feel like, if I'm honest, looking at current social, environmental, scientific, and economic context, I feel like this could use some updates. I feel like this language is a little dated. There's no mention of climate change anywhere in here. And I feel like one of our, or my primary focuses is figuring out how we manage our forests for carbon. So part of me feels like this really could use a second look. That being said, I don't want to stop any of this policy work that is ongoing, and we'll definitely vote to leave it as it is for now. But I just wanted to put out there that once we have an HCP and an FMP, and we've got this current policy work under our belts, I think we should revisit this before the next 10 years are up. I think this is important work, and I think this language should be revisited, but now is not the time for that.
Thank you, Ben. Carla.
Yeah, I appreciate the comments today. And as I look at these management model and these 16 points, really, we're talking about words and feelings and emotion, but we don't have any economic modeling to go with this. And so it's something that's important. It strikes me we can't react to this until we have better economic data. So if you come, I'm with Ben, I'm at a no change point for sure. But if we're going to shift balance and change in priority on management tools and focus, then you're going to need, the department needs to give us really good economic analysis with, what those changes are going to cost. What's the opportunity cost? And, coming right back to the counties and their point, how is it going to impact the 151 taxing districts? They too fund the police and the sheriffs, and they help us fight fires, believe it or not. They help fund that. How's it going to impact them? How's it going to impact our own Department of State lands and our ability to finance fires and our ability to finance ourselves? So as we talk about these shifts in management focus and priorities, beyond these words, I'm certainly to the point where I want to see the economic analysis associated with voting with that shift. Also, keep in mind, we're talking about setting aside something over $1 billion of Oregonians' assets, likely, 273,000 acres. If you're looking, let's put a conservative value of $5,000 to $7,000 an acre, something over, maybe up over $2 billion. Before we as board members would say, yeah, we're going to set that asset aside on behalf of Oregonians, certainly we owe them really good economic analysis on why we're doing that. So I'm to the point where I want to see some good numbers, and I'd like to see them pretty quickly. Thank you.
Brenda, then Liz.
I think Liz was before me, so I'm going to defer to Liz.
No, go ahead, Brenda.
Okay, thank you, Liz. So I think Carla makes an excellent point, and that is that, the words have meaning, but without metrics and analysis, it's hard to understand what those words really mean. But I would extend Carla's suggestion even further, that there needs to be not only an economic analysis, there needs to be an ecological analysis. And we have tools that can do that. And there needs to be a social analysis. And there are tools to do that. And not just a social analysis focused on the benefits to particular counties, but social analyses relative to all Oregonians. Mm-hmm. And we have tools to do that too. So I agree with Ben and Carla that we probably ought to take a closer look at this at some point in the future. I would like to see climate change and carbon sequestration called out explicitly in this, but now is not the time to do that. And so I would suggest to the board that over the next few years, whatever time it takes to come back to revisit this, that ODF explore those possibilities for economic, ecological, and social analyses so that we have a better understanding of really what these trade-offs are.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead, Liz.
So my thoughts in reading the GPV is that it is quite a big umbrella, and the words like health, sustainability, and productivity can encompass both the biology and the economics of it. And so probably, I'm leaning toward just keeping it now. I think that this idea is that as we go out, we might take a look in the future. I think might be a good one, just because the whole machinations of climate change and how it plays out on the landscape in Oregon, I think, are still to be seen. And then by then, in the very near future, we may have even a better look and sense of what are going to be the highest priorities.
Thank you, Chandra.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to support also, I am fine with leaving the current language for right now. I accept the rationale that this is a pretty lengthy process and it will need to be conducted thoughtfully and with a lot more information maybe than we have to do it right. And so I think we have really pressing things on the agenda already we need to move forward with. That said, I also support bringing it back for consideration in a closer interval than the 10 years. And I wonder if we can't also take the suggestion of Brenda and Carla to look at the work plans over the next 2 years, or maybe it's even in the next biennium, to understand what deliverables we're going to be producing to give us that level of information on the different considerations, whether it's economic or social or scientific. A lot of that's going to be generated, or some things that are going to be relevant to the conversation in some of the processes like the HCP and the DEIS that's going to accompany that. But where are the gaps and where else should we be seeking that? And I think that's worthy of some additional conversation and actually timeline for getting that. So, thank you for that. And my decision would be, to move forward with the language. I'm sorry, to keep the language.
Right. Thank you all. I too have a very similar view of this, in that I think we should move ahead with no change. But I really say that as a pragmatic decision, because I think this time we are in for the state forest management is really difficult with this HCP, not in effect, but out there in our future, and trying to line up a new forest management plan while at the same time, for a long period of time, having to manage under the current management focus is really challenging. So I think at this point for us to make a decision to look at this would endanger the whole HCP by that, the kind of length of delay there. So I would, we'll see, we're gonna get some outside testimony. Right now, what I would like to see is a motion that we do no change, but I would like that to also include that we would like to revisit this, at which point that we have, after we have adopted the HCP or chosen to reject it, I think that would be the appropriate time. So we are talking, within a couple of year time frame here, as I understand it. So with that, any other comments before we move to public comment? We'll have a chance to talk about this a little bit more after that. Okay. So we'll move on to public testimony. Thank you for those who signed up to provide testimony to the board today. We ask that everyone in the Zoom queue not exceed their allotted time of 3 minutes. I ask that before you start, you state your full name, organization. A timer will be provided to track your time, and each commenter will be called on by the board administrator. With limited time available, anyone who exceeds their time will be prompted to provide a closing statement and muted. Hillary, are we ready to begin?
Yes, Chair Kelly, we are, and we have two ready in the queue.
Okay, go ahead and
move. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and appreciate the two that are joining. To ensure we just stay on track, I'll list a set of names in an order, and then call on each of you to begin your testimony. You'll be unmuted for the comment portion and muted upon conclusion of your comments. When you begin, I'll display a timer, and when it concludes, we ask that you provide your closing statement. So, apologies. In the following order, we'll have Mr. Barnes, then Ms. Astor. Mr. Barnes, can you just wait one moment while I prepare your timer? Mr. Barnes, you can begin.
Thank you. Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukumoto, members of the board, for the record, my name is Seth Barnes, and I'm the Director of Forest Policy at OFIC. First, on the topic of the rule defining greatest permanent value, I would urge the board not to make any changes. As evidenced by current conversations, the rule as written already allows a wide array of goals and strategies on state forests. And secondly, opening the rule risks spreading the board, the department, and stakeholders too thin at a time when you're in the midst of so many large initiatives, both in HCP and FMP process for state forests, an interconnected and very large wildfire funding, staffing, and mitigation conversation, a private forestry accord that will rewrite much of the Forest Practices Act, a subsequent programmatic HCP for aquatic species on private lands, and on and on and on. Opening the GPV in the midst of all of these other conversations would certainly risk biting off more than we can chew and doing nothing well at all. Secondly, I want to again remind the board there's a specific purpose for the county trust lands. These lands were deeded to the state for management. They are not state parks, wilderness areas, or state wildlife refuges. These are working forests. ORS 530.050 specifically lays out 13 actions that can be taken by the department in managing state lands. Notably, the first is to protect the lands from fire. Of the remaining 12 actions in statute, each of them relate to revenue generation from these lands for the benefit of state and counties. I find that incredibly insightful. Certainly, when the statute was written and these lands were deeded to the state to manage, the idea was to use the expertise of the department to protect the lands from fire and then manage them to produce revenue and social value for these counties. At a bare minimum, the department must place an emphasis on ensuring these lands produce enough revenue to balance the department's budget. Now, in my remaining time, I'd like to remind the board that we have spent the better part of the last 3 years focused on writing, preparing, analyzing, reviewing, and soon approving a habitat conservation plan for state forests. All of these conversations revolved around conservation goals and strategies. By definition, that is what an HCP is all about. When passed, this plan will undoubtedly devote large swaths of state lands to conservation outcomes. It is our hope that this board recognizes the need to balance this conversation. And right now, the three legs of GPV as defined in rules, social, economic, and environmental, are out of balance. Economic outcomes are a vital part of this planning process, and they have a direct correlation to the social benefits derived by these communities. They were not intended to be a byproduct or an afterthought. I look forward to a more direct and substantive conversation regarding the economics of the new forest management plan moving forward. Thanks for the opportunity to comment today.
Thank you. Up next, Ms. Astor.
Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukumoto, and members of the board, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Amanda Astor, and I'm the Forest Policy Manager at Associated Oregon Loggers. Thank you for allowing me to provide public comment today on this agenda item 8. As you know, AOL represents hundreds of small family forest businesses, of which a portion help to achieve greatest permanent value on state lands. With all of the changes, this will sound very similar to what you guys have already heard and what you guys have talked about, but with all the changes the department is undergoing, AOL does not feel changes to the GPV management focus would be helpful in achieving the department's core business. A change would delay development of the forest management plan and make no meaningful change to the current practices of the department. The analysis in the board packet is clear. The current management focus does not limit the department in its efforts to address current issues such as developing resilient landscapes, mitigating climate change, ensuring a robust forest sector workforce, pursuing environmental justice inequities, and much more. The management focus provides critical sideboards to ensure state forest management is completed in an economically viable and scientifically sound manner. Thus, AOL believes the board should affirm that the management focus is sufficient for meeting GPV in light of current social, economic, scientific, and civicultural considerations. And we believe priority of the board should be placed on development and implementation of the proposed HCP, FMP, wildfire mitigation rules, MGO requested fixes, and on and on. and other various projects the department is currently managing, rather than opening up the complicated work of adjusting the GPV management focus. So in closing, please consider the realistic ability of the department to meet its core business before opening up a possibly controversial rule like GPV. AOL does not believe now is the right time to adjust the management focus. AOL does, however, look forward to the opportunity to engage with the board in the future on any proposed changes of the management focus to meet GPV on state lands in the future. And I just wanted to say thank you again for the opportunity to comment on this agenda item. And as always, I am available for any questions.
Thank you, testimony providers. We appreciate your participation today, and you're welcome to stay in the Zoom meeting. We just ask that you remain muted and disengage your video. Chair Kelly and members of the board, this concludes our public testimony portion for item 8.
Thank you, Hillary. Any further questions or comments or questions for those who gave testimony? Not hearing any, I would be welcome a motion.
I would so move, Chair Kelly, this is Carla Chambers, that we adopt a no change and that we come back and revisit this decision following a decision on the HCP where we have fully evaluated what Brenda and I and others are describing as a full analysis on, so we better understand the cost, all costs and all benefits associated with that discussion. So I would make the motion for no change and to come back and reevaluate after an HCP decision has been made.
Second that.
Thank you, Carla. That was Brenda seconding?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for the second. With that, we have a motion that is on the floor that's been seconded. And so I'm going to do a roll call of members. Liz Apawa.
Yes. Chair Kelly, I affirm to keep the as is with the expectation of a future full analysis of the things that were described.
Thank you. Carla Chambers.
Aye.
Ben Dwindling.
Aye.
Shonda Ferrari.
Aye.
Joe Justice.
Aye.
Brenda McComb.
Aye.
And myself, Jim Kelly, am an aye as well. And with that, the motion carries. Just want to point out the historic nature of complete board consensus. We had written and verbal testimony from industry. We had, and we had written testimony from the conservation community. And we all seem to have agreed about what to do. So congratulations to all. And also, I think a congratulations to Liz Dent, because I think this is very important to her in her effort and her legacy to that we are able to move forward successfully on the HCP. And she saw this are a possible action here as a threat. So congratulations to her. And with that, I'm gonna check the time here. It's, we are actually ahead of schedule, but I don't think anybody, if we're able to stay ahead of schedule, would mind if this today's meeting ended early. So, let's keep with about a 15-minute break, and let's be back at 3:06 from our afternoon break. With that, we're short adjourned for 15 minutes.